The UNC Board of Trustees has made a unanimous decision for the new dean of the School of Civic Life and Leadership. We'll show you the background behind the person who will be leading this controversial new school.
We're just days away from veterans who were exposed to toxins from getting benefits from the Veterans Administration. We'll show you what you need to do to apply.
The rain is picking up in intensity. When your town will see the heaviest showers and when will dry out this weekend?
Here comes the rain, or should I say more of it. We are taking a live look everywhere around our area tonight. There are droplets of rain on the lens as we take a live look from Sanford. This rain is going to be with us for a while. The showers will intensify as we get a little later into the night. Now, we don't expect anything severe, which is good. No damaging winds, no tornadoes, nothing like that. But what we're seeing now and a bit more is going to be coming all the way until tomorrow morning. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. Our team is on top of it on this rainy Friday night. We have Aaron Thomas in the WRAL Storm Tracker, Chris Lovingood in the Live Center, and meteorologist Mike Mays in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. Let's start there. Mike, how much more rain will we be getting, and how long does it last into Saturday?
Well, we've only had a few hundredths of an inch of rain out of the airport so far, Ashley, and some models suggest up to 7/10. So, yeah, we have a whole lot more to go. Now, we're in kind of a little bit of a lull, even though it's just raining very lightly across the triangle and much of the viewing area. But you can't help but notice this darker green, these yellows showing up. This is where some of the more moderate to heavy rainfall is, and that extends into South Carolina, too. And you can see from our view from Fayetteville southwest toward Rockingham and Laurinburg, you can see some of the more moderate rain there. That's all heading to the northeast. So over the next few hours, the rain intensity will pick up, and most of the heavier rain will occur overnight. Another look at Sanford, the downtown area, the roads are wet. And this is going to be a likely scenario across the entire viewing area for the next several hours from this system. There's the surface low. The upper level low is over the Ohio Valley, and all this moisture surging toward North Carolina. We got to get through all this before it comes to an end. And Futurecast shows that starting at 7 o'clock tonight, there's the rain, more widespread and steady through 10 o'clock tonight, 11 o'clock tonight. We see that widespread rain. It's not really till after 2 to 3 a.m. that we see that more widespread rain begin to taper off. So if you're up early tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., it's an overcast. It's spotty areas of rain. That low continues to move to the northeast. We'll get rid of the rain, but we're going to keep the clouds through the better part of the day, and these clouds may linger, Ashley, into the weekend. I'll have a closer look at Futurecast town by town coming up in less than 15 minutes.
Thank you, Mike. And we are keeping a close eye on how the weather is impacting traffic. Aaron Thomas in the WRAL Storm Tracker in Cary. Aaron, how are the roads out there right now?
Yeah, so the best way to describe it, Ashley, these roads are definitely slick for anyone that has to be out here. Taking a live look now, it's actually been a pretty decent heavy commute with a lot of people taking advantage of these roads, whether they're taking advantage of the evening commute or maybe they have plans to go out. There were heavier periods of rainfall that we saw as we had the WRAL Storm Tracker in areas like Cary, Apex, Raleigh, Durham, to name a few. Let's take a live look at the radar. You can actually see a lot of green that's scattered in various parts of the viewing area right now. It's definitely shaping up to be a messy night right now, as well as we approach our late news at 10 and 11. As we come back out here live, you can see the heavy rainfall that continues to fall on our windshield. This has been the case for several hours now. We did have a little bit of a slower period within the past 20 minutes, but it certainly has picked up. Keep in mind, with these slick roads, we have seen our fair share of fender benders with people pulling off to the side. So if you do have to be on the roads, just be cautious. Back to you.
You said it. Aaron Thomas live giving us a look from the road as we follow along with the Storm Tracker. We got Chris Lovingood, kind of a bird's eye view, looking at traffic in general and how this weather is making an impact tonight, Chris.
Yeah, and I tell you what, Dan, this kind of gives you a better scope of what we're dealing with here. You can see, Aaron, as Aaron was just saying, and meteorologist Mike Mays, how that rain is pushing across. We've seen a couple of different accident nodes, one up here, one down here as well on I-440. But for the most part, things have been pretty clear. And as you look at the cameras, I want to show you that as well. This right here is I-440 and Capitol Boulevard. No one seems to be, you know, going too fast. Everyone's kind of going at that nice slow pace, possibly because those roads are wetter. Just want to leave you with one last thing. RDU, things are looking pretty clear, although we can see some raindrops over there. But as I look over here at the flight tracker, this right here, this is the departure side to kind of track things where we're going. We're not seeing cancellations, not seeing delays, except for maybe one or two. But ultimately, things looking pretty good on the roads and in the air, Dan.
All right, good stuff so far tonight. Thank you to everybody in our team coverage. You can get the latest updates on weather in our area on the WRAL News app. Our team of meteorologists will be tracking the radar, of course, and the app is the best way for you to stay on top of any new developments.
We are learning more about why Millbrook High School and a nearby daycare went on lockdown. Sky 5 flew over the scene earlier today. Raleigh police say they were trying to stop a driver who had felony warrants out for his arrest. They say Shaquel Autry took off, hitting four cars, including three police cruisers. Officers chased him for a while, then he got out of the car and ran. Officers eventually caught him near Grove Point Court. Once arrested, the lockdowns were lifted at Millbrook and KinderCare on Spring Forest Road.
UNC Chapel Hill's controversial School of Civic Life and Leadership has a new leader. You're taking a look at Jed Atkins. He was unanimously chosen to serve as the new dean. Right now, he teaches classical studies and heads Duke's Civil Discourse Project. WRL's Monica Casey takes us inside this decision and the plan for the new program.
It was a unanimous vote by the UNC Board of Trustees here in the South Building today. Jed Atkins will be the new dean and director of the School of Civic Life and Leadership.
UNC Board of Trustees Chair John Pryor tells me the new school coming to campus is important in an increasingly polarized world.
Students will be able to take classes in civic debate, how to frame arguments, and do so with their friends and classmates in a civil and constructive way. And that is a great thing that we need more of.
We're going to be a national leader.
Trustee David Bullock says it will set students up to be able to debate issues both on and off the university campus.
I fully expect the School of Civic Life and Leadership to have a balance of perspectives, both on the conservative side and the liberal side. But it's that balance that is really important to the people of North Carolina and to future students.
The school has been controversial, with some faculty pushing back on the idea that there isn't already balance on campus. It's been in the works since early last year. The Board of Trustees proposed the school in January, and by September, the Provost and North Carolina General Assembly had established it. Nine inaugural faculty members were announced in October. In January of this year, four finalists to lead the new school visited campus. Today, in addition to that new dean, the school announced it will offer a new minor in civic life and leadership.
To me, that is an example of what can be done when you cut through a lot of the red tape and cut through a lot of the bureaucracy.
In Chapel Hill, Monica Casey, WRAL News.
The school will start offering courses next fall. That new minor also includes three core courses and two electives.
Millions of veterans exposed to toxins in war zones while serving in the military at home or abroad are just days away from being able to apply for benefits. It's part of an expansion of the VA Health Care PACT Act, announced earlier this week by the Biden administration. WRAL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays spoke with local VA administrators about the application process.
This is the VA Healthcare Center here in Fayetteville. It's probably one of the places where thousands of veterans who were exposed to toxins will come to apply for benefits. But before you jump in your car and head down here, listen to what the VA says about applying.
They've served our nation proudly in many places around the world most Americans can't even pronounce. Unfortunately, during their tour of duty, many service members were exposed to toxins from Agent Orange in Vietnam, fumes from burning oil fields and burn pits inside combat posts in Iraq and Afghanistan. Beginning March 5th, if you served in one of those areas, you can enroll directly in VA healthcare without first applying for VA benefits.
And even if you never deployed, but were exposed to toxins or hazards while training or serving on active duty here at home, by working with chemicals, pesticides, lead, asbestos, certain paints, nuclear weapons, x-rays, and more, you can enroll too.
That means millions of veterans will be eligible to enroll for benefits 8 years earlier than previously allowed under the PACT Act. Here in Fayetteville, the local VA system says there are several ways to apply without leaving your home.
They can call, first of all, in addition to calling for many of our veterans online at va.gov. So they'll have that opportunity to log in and sign up va.gov.
Veterans can also mail in their enrollment, or you can visit a VA center and apply in person.
so you can start applying for benefits March 5th. If you go to the story on WREL.com, we'll have all the details on what you need to do to apply. In Fayetteville, Gilbert Bays, WREL News.
The VA says not everyone is going to qualify for benefits, but anyone who thinks they have been exposed to toxins should take advantage of this opportunity to have their case heard.
Vice President Kamala Harris is back in Washington, D.C. tonight after spending the day in Durham. During her visit, she announced more than $90 million for diverse and underrepresented small businesses in North Carolina. Harris says this investment makes economic and financial sense.
The bottom line, I speak in economic terms, is that this produces an extraordinary return on investment.
This is the vice president's 10th visit to North Carolina since she was sworn in her second visit just this year. The Republican candidates will be making a visit to our state. Nikki Haley will be in Raleigh tomorrow. She was in Charlotte early today. Meantime, Donald Trump will be in Greensboro tomorrow. WREL will have coverage of all of those campaign stops for you. And we are your Super Tuesday election night headquarters. We are going to have the results on TV, WREL.com, on our app. You can also look for updates on all the big races every 30 minutes after the polls close on WREL News Plus. You can find that on Channel 34 over the air, Spectrum Channel 1257, your smart TV and your mobile devices.
And our coverage of the March 5th primary continues next. One of the most competitive among Republicans with 14 candidates facing off.
WREL's Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie joining us with a preview of the race for U.S. House District 13. Another person. Before we get to that next story, let's take another look outside, because this is what we've been doing tonight to keep you updated on this weather. We have the storm tracker on the right, giving us that perspective from the ground, and then you see the radar on the left and all of that green. A lot of rain moving across our area tonight. We're going to get a deeper look at the forecast with Mike Mays in just a moment. Now back to that other story. We can tell you now another person from our area has been arrested in connection to the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. Steve Baker is from Durham. He's a self-proclaimed conservative political commentator who writes for Blaze Media. WREL Investigates has interviewed Baker several times over this. Baker claims that he was at the Capitol that day to document what was going on as an independent journalist. WREL has not been able to confirm what charges Baker is facing or when his first appearance in court will be. There's new information about the source of lead contamination found in children's applesauce. The FDA now saying that the lead and chromium was found in that Wana Bana apple cinnamon pouches are from lead chromate. It was detected in cinnamon samples from a manufacturer in Ecuador. The FDA says the likely source of the contamination is not operating at this time, but there were 468 reports so far to the CDC of people with elevated lead levels in their blood connected to these fruit pouches.
All this week, we have been bringing you previews of some of the big races in next week's primary election. Tonight, WREL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie has a look at the fight for the new 13th Congressional District, where more than a dozen candidates are vying for the GOP nomination on March 5th.
There are 14 Republican candidates in the 13th district. Well, that's too many for us to fit into one story. So we'll focus on some of the better known candidates in the race.
14 candidates is the largest field for a congressional seat in recent memory. State lawmakers redrew the 13th district last year to make it a safe Republican seat. So it's not surprising that there's a lot of interest. Meredith College political scientist David McLennan says the redrawn district favored former President Donald Trump over President Joe Biden by a 17-point margin in 2020.
It appears like the winner of the primary will be favored in the general election and will be favored in 2026, 2028, and 2030. So it looks like a pretty safe tenure in Congress.
With so many rivals, contenders are having to spend a lot of money to get their names out there. You've probably seen ads for at least three of them. Kelly Daughtry is a Johnston County attorney and the daughter of longtime state lawmaker Leo Daughtry. She also ran for this seat in 2022. Brad Knott is a first-time candidate, a former federal prosecutor, and son of noted local attorney Joe Knott. And Fred Von Cannon is a businessman and veteran who ran for a state House district in 2022. Devon Barber also ran for this district in 2022. He hasn't aired many ads, but he's well known in Johnston County, the population center of the newly drawn district. Catawba College political scientist Michael Bitzer says that could matter a lot in a race with no clear favorite and no Trump endorsement.
When you get into these kinds of races, such local dynamics could be influential in a race like this. And perhaps the effect of friends and neighbors, you know, where a candidate lives, pulling that base of support, that could be the key thing.
Bitzer says the large field will likely divide the GOP vote, making it more difficult for any one candidate to cross the 30% threshold needed to win the primary outright.
The big question, I think, is going to be, when is the runoff going to happen and who is going to fall into the top two slots?
If this race does go to a runoff or a second primary, as it's known, that'll take place on May 14th. Now, there is no Democratic primary for the 13th district because there's only one candidate running, political newcomer Frank Pierce. Incumbent Democrat Wiley Nickel opted not to seek re-election. Laura Leslie, WRAL News, Raleigh.
By the way, early voting for the primary runs through tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. Election day is March 5th. You can learn more about this race tomorrow night on WRAL's On the Record. It airs at 7 p.m. And to see who's on your ballot, check out our WRAL voter guide. Just go to WRAL.com and search for voter guide.
Let's take a look at the radar with meteorologist Mike Mays. I think the good part from where I'm standing is that we're not dealing with a lot of heavy wind, no real threats of anything too serious. We kind of need this rain.
Yeah, there's no weather drama.
Right.
That's a good
thing.
Yeah. There's some places like Fayetteville that are abnormally dry, and there's a drought now returned to the Greenville area and down east toward the coast. So, yes, this is much needed rain. And it's a little intermittent rain right now across the triangle. But, Dan, you can see more widespread rain down to the south and west. And that's what's poised to move in over the next several hours. I think at least for the next 8 hours or so, the rain will be widespread. Now, Aaron Thomas has been in the storm tracker all afternoon, and he's hanging around the Beltline right now. You can see Wake County seeing some rain, but it's intermittent. The more widespread stuff's about to come on in, and there's the heaviest rain in South Carolina, and all this is heading toward us, and it should remain widespread at least through 2 to 3 a.m., and then after that, it becomes intermittent again, per what I'm seeing on the models. So our WRAL live cam network, it's wet in Chapel Hill. Our WRAL gardens, you can see little spits of rain there off the light there in the gardens. Clinton downtown is wet, and so is Roxboro. So we're in for a wet evening, so make sure if you're out and about, have the rain gear, have a jacket too. It's a little chilly. 53 at RDU right now after 58 the high. 62 earlier today in Fayetteville. 55 right now, 45 at Roxboro, 47 in South Hill. 100% chance of rain from 9 o'clock through about 1 a.m., still widespread at 2 to 3, and then it becomes more intermittent. And even at 6, 7, 8 a.m., it's about a 30 to 40% chance for rain. It won't be all that widespread, but there will be some around. And when you join PETA tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., there'll be rain on the dual Doppler 5000 radar. So future cast at 7 o'clock showing the more widespread rain coming in. It's with us at 9 o'clock. It's with us at midnight. We go through about 2 to 3 a.m., and once we get past that point, the rain becomes more intermittent. And then during the morning on Saturday, we start this at 7. We see still a little bit of rain around. There's an overcast that's likely to stay with us through the day, but rain chances really drop off. By 10 a.m. tomorrow, we're down to about a 30% chance of rain. At this point, you can see the Outer Banks are getting creamed with some pretty heavy rainfall at that point. And again, we're not expecting anything severe. It's kind of a needed gentle rain. By 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, it's an overcast. If you have outdoor plants, I think the weather will end up being dry. And tomorrow evening, if you're heading to dinner or don't think you'll need the rain gear, just looking at pretty much an overcast sky. So our forecast tonight, the bottom line is rain is likely with about 50 for the low here in the triangle, 53 in Fayetteville, 44 at Roxboro. It'll be chilly. It will be damp overnight. And then tomorrow it's rain in the morning. I think by 10 a.m. it drops to about a 30% chance for rain. Later in the afternoon, it's just an overcast. So I've been saying this for the past couple of days. I don't want you to think it's going to be a nasty weekend. It's certainly not going to shape up that way. It's not going to be the brightest weekend we've ever had because I think tomorrow after the rain ends, we'll stick with the overcast. It's mostly cloudy Saturday night. Mostly cloudy on Sunday. We'll see some sunshine, but it's not the kind of day that's going to see a day's worth full of sunshine. Monday, 72. Election day on Tuesday, partly cloudy skies. That probably will end up being the brightest day, 72. Showers and some thunderstorms on Wednesday. It looks like, as of right now, a pretty good chance with about 80% chance during the day, 70% at night. And as of right now, it does not look like a severe threat. The wind shear is not looking all that scary. I'll let you know if that changes. Still a chance for some rain on Thursday. Thursday, and by next Friday, 73. Our normal high is 59. We're not anywhere near that over the next 7 days.
Looking pretty warm. All right, Mike, thank you.
A professor at North Carolina Central University will go down in history. She's being inducted into the Wheelchair Basketball Hall of Fame.
Up next, how she is passing the ball to other women to fill her shoes in the sport. I'm impressed by this final number here. So 6,700 people got to talk to an attorney for free today through Lawyers on Call. Five on Your Side partnered with the North Carolina Bar Foundation for a nine-hour phone bank, talking to people across the state. They were calling in, called to help figure out their legal questions. If you weren't able to call today, Five on Your Side has posted some links and phone numbers to free or low-cost legal assistance. That's on WREL.com.
Oh, amazing. An NC Central University professor will soon be inducted into the National Wheelchair Basketball Hall of Fame. Andrea Woodson-Smith played college ball in Texas. She had problems with arthritis in her hips, limiting her activity. So she started playing competitively in wheelchair basketball. She was good enough to compete for Team USA until the arthritis got worse. Now she's devoted herself to help more women have greater access to the sport.
So it is growing in this area. It isn't to where I would like for it to be. And so I'm looking at different ways to help grow the sport in different areas of North Carolina.
Woodson Smith will be inducted into the Hall of Fame on April 13th. An early congratulations to her.
Yeah, wonderful. Very inspirational for so many people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for being with us here tonight on WREL News. We will continue to track this wet weather throughout the night on WREL News Plus.
If you are heading out on the roads tonight, do be safe. Look for live updates from the WREL Severe Weather Center every half hour starting at 7:30. Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WREL. Have a great night and a great weekend.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.